Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you have joined us this morning. We want to answer the question this morning, what will you leave behind? When you die, friend, what will you leave behind? But before we answer that question, I'd like to remind you of our gospel meeting revival that begins today and runs through Tuesday, May the 8th, May the 9th, and May the 10th. Sunday, today, May the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Brother Joel Plunkett from Nashville, Tennessee, will be holding our series of gospel lessons today at 9 a.m., What is Sin? This morning at 10 a.m., The Wrath of God. This evening at 5 p.m., The Grace of God. Monday evening at 7 p.m., History Repeats Itself. And Tuesday at 7 p.m., What is Commitment? Of course, that'll be a very good lesson. A lot of people don't want to serve the Lord because they just simply don't want to be committed. And we see a lack of commitment in marriage, in family, in work, at school, other places, and more importantly, many people lack commitment in serving Jesus Christ. So we invite you to our gospel meeting revival starting today and running through Tuesday. This morning at 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., this evening at 5 p.m., Monday and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. You would be our honored guest if you would come visit us. We'd be glad to have you. If you need a ride or transportation to our gospel meeting, if you will call me, I would be glad to make arrangements for you to come. You can call 615-389-3250. That's 615-389-3250. This morning we want to answer the question, what will you leave behind? If you'll turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we're going to read verses 13 through 17 in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 5, 13 through 17. What will you leave behind, friend? When we all die, we will leave different things behind. Maybe you've heard that expression, left behind, from the popular TV series or book series that is actually teaching a false doctrine that when Christ comes again, some will be taken up into heaven with him while others will be left behind. Maybe you've heard about that series of books and movies. And that is just simply not the truth. When Jesus comes again, everyone will hear his voice. All the tombs will be opened and everyone will stand before him in judgment. That idea of Jesus coming again and only taking certain ones with him and leaving others is a mistaken and false idea taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, where Paul writes, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Paul is simply talking about the righteous. He's not talking about all humanity. He's trying to answer the question, if you look back at verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, and read all the way down through the context, he's trying to answer the question for the Thessalonian brethren, will those who have died in Christ, will they be left when Jesus comes? And Paul says, no, they, together with the living, will go together to be with the Lord. But Paul is not addressing other things that happen when the Lord comes. He's only addressing the question, what happens to those righteous Christians who have already died? Will they be left? And the answer is no. The living and the dead in Christ will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But that does not imply, or we should not conclude from that, that all the wicked people are going to be left behind on the earth. He's simply addressing one question, and we can't take this passage out of its context and apply it to other things. When you turn to other Bible passages, like John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, all people will be caught up, raised up, and all people will have to stand before Jesus in judgment, the righteous and the wicked. There's no such thing as a rapture where only the righteous are caught up into heaven and the wicked are left on the earth. There is nothing like that in the Word of God. But when we die, we will leave some things behind, and that's what we want to address. There is something that is left behind in death. When Jesus comes again, no one is going to be left behind, and nothing is going to be left behind. That will be the end of all time when Jesus comes again. But each day that people die, right now, they leave things behind. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. What will you leave behind? What will I leave behind? Actually, there are many things that we will leave behind. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, Solomon writes, "There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept by the owner thereof to his hurt. And those riches perish by evil adventure, and if he hath begotten a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he go again as he came, and shall take nothing for his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a grievous evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that he laboreth for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he is sore vexed, and he hath sickness and wrath." So Solomon sees where people in life go through a lot of hardships, and when they die, they take nothing with them. He does not carry anything away in his hand. He leaves his physical things behind. He came forth from his mother's womb naked, and he goes again into the earth naked. And he doesn't take anything with him. And so, we know that we leave things behind. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment." That's one appointment that we will all keep. Provided the Lord does not come again, we will meet the appointment of dying. You know, a lot of times we forget appointments, a doctor's appointment, something like that. We forget it. We overlook it. We ignore it. Sometimes we choose not to go to certain appointments. But our appointment with death, no one will be able to forget or avoid or escape. We must all die. And so it is appointed unto man once to die. What are we going to leave behind? What are you going to leave behind, friend? You need to think about that, because our day is coming. You know, a lot of times the only thing that people think about is, well, do I have a life insurance policy in place? Or have my funeral arrangements been taken care of? And really, sometimes people don't even take care of those things. But at a bare minimum, sometimes people will take care of funeral arrangements or making sure that their estate is divided up, or they have a will written for those who remain behind, family and friends, but they don't take care of other kinds of things that are important. And those are things that we want to talk about this morning on this program. Friend, you're going to leave behind some things when you die, so will I. I want to talk about those things. You're going to leave behind your physical possessions. You can't take them with you into heaven. And so many people put too much emphasis on their physical possessions. They won't get their life right with Christ. It's just all about buying things and taking care of things and having things. But Job says in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, in fact, we already read the same idea in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Jehovah gave, and Jehovah hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah." We will not take anything with us of a physical nature when we die into the afterlife. The suit or the dress, or however we're dressed in that coffin, when we go into the grave, eventually that will rot and that will spoil in the ground, and we will just eventually turn into dust. And Paul says in Romans chapter 6, he's talking about people who put too much emphasis on riches. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, "For we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out. But having food and raiment, covering we shall be, having food and covering we shall be therewith content." And then he goes on to talk about those who have a love of money and fall into all kinds of problems. but they don't take care of their soul, their relationship with God. So we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? There's a lot of millionaires and billionaires who buy things and build things, and they have fancy cars and clothes and mansions and all kinds of money, but they can't take any of it with them. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, when Jesus comes again, the Lord comes again as a thief in the night, the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. It's all going to be gone. So we need to stop putting emphasis on that and making sure that our life is right with God. Another thing that we're going to leave behind is we're going to leave behind our reputation and our character. People are going to remember who we are, for good or for bad. And we might be dead and gone, but people will continue to talk about us, whether we serve the Lord or whether we serve the devil, whether we had our life right with God or not. And so we need to think about our reputation and what will come after us. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. What will you be remembered for? What are you putting your emphasis on now? Material things, physical things, or your spiritual life and character? Proverbs 22 verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name, that's one's reputation, what they're known for. What kind of a reputation are you building in life? In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, a good name is better than precious oil, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. A good name is better than precious oil. What are you known for? What am I known for? In chapter 10 and verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, dead flies cause the oil of the perfumer to send forth an evil odor. So doth a little folly outweigh wisdom and honor. And so what good we might be doing in life, the little folly outweighs all of that. And so we go off and do something stupid, and that's what we're often remembered for over even the good things. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 16, we're to be letting our light shine and our good works. People need to see our good works so that they can glorify God who is in heaven. Matthew 5, 16. Are we known for our good works? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 2, when Stephen died, devout men buried him and made a great lamentation. They realized the greatness of Stephen and the good that he had done in preaching the gospel. What will you be known for? What will I be known for? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 39, when Dorcas or Tabitha died, they showed the garments that she had made for others. She was a caring person, a giving person. She wasn't selfish and self-centered. She gave to other people. And so when her funeral came, there were many people weeping and showing the coats and garments which she had made while she was with them. She was a caring and giving and benevolent person. What will you be known for? What will I be known for? We need to think about that, friends. Our reputation and our character. And sometimes people are living good lives. They're doing good things. Sometimes people are living sinful lives. And that is what they're going to be known for. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24, some men's sins are evident going before unto judgment. In other words, we know them right now. And some men also, they follow after. It will catch up with them later in life. In like manner also, there are good works that are evident and such as otherwise cannot be hid. Are you known for your good works or are you known for your sins? In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, we know that when we get to heaven, after we labor in this life, we're going to be rewarded. And in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. What are we working now? What are we laboring for now in the kingdom of Christ so that we can be blessed with rest later? Are you a member of the Lord's church? If not, you need to become one. Are you a Christian? If not, you need to become one. Have you obeyed the gospel, repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of your sins? If not, you need to do that, friend. You need to change your reputation and your character. You need to be someone who's known in the community for being a faithful Christian. And I make no apology for that, because that's what the New Testament teaches, that we need to be followers of Christ. And don't let your life go on and on and on. I've been to so many funerals. I've preached many funerals. And what the person is known for is their drunkenness, their gambling, their ungodliness, their womanizing, their fornication, their adultery. And a lot of times at a funeral, those things are completely ignored, and nobody wants to talk about those things, and people will preach them into heaven, even though everyone knew that they lived an ungodly life. I'm amazed at how the truth is twisted at funerals. A person can live just an ungodly life, but at a funeral, all of a sudden, they're a saint and they're going into heaven. No, God sees through that. In the judgment day, there'll be none of that kind of thing. We here on this earth, we want to make things better than they really are. We want to smooth things out. We want to gloss over the ungodliness. We want to act like that never happened, and we just change things. And ministers and preachers and pastors and reverends, sometimes they can be the worst. Here is a person who is known for their ungodliness, and yet right at the very end at the funeral, they're walking right through the pearly gates. And so, friends, we need to be facing truth. And if our life does not match up truthfully with the New Testament scriptures, then we need to make that change. No matter what a preacher says at our funeral, it's not going to change the truth. And we're going to be judged by the truth in the judgment day, not by the nice words of the preacher at the funeral. You're going to leave behind a reputation and a character. And if it is ungodly, you need to change that today. You know, you're going to leave behind a family legacy. How have you been teaching and training your children? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The way that he should go is the Bible way, God's way. Training your children based upon biblical principles. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and the mother of Timothy, passed on their faith to him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Timothy knew the scriptures, the sacred scriptures, from a babe he had known them. So his mother and his grandmother had taught him from an early age the scriptures, and they passed on a great spiritual legacy to him. And he grew up to be a faithful young preacher and Christian in the sight of God. And he worked with the Apostle Paul. What kind of children are you raising? What kind of family legacy are you leaving? Are you raising unruly children? Are you raising children that are undisciplined? Are you raising children that don't know anything about God's Word? We have Bible classes every Sunday morning at the Memorial Boulevard congregation for the children. And every Wednesday night, we get so concerned about our children's secular education, and that's great. My children go to school. I want your children to go to school. But even more importantly is their schooling in God's Word. So many young people today are not being disciplined. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. So many kids growing up, they're raising themselves, the dad's gone or the mother's gone. So many young people today are even being raised by their grandparents. The parents are too lazy and too selfish to raise their children. And it's the dedicated, faithful grandparents that are having to raise them, and that's a shame. I'm glad that they're doing it. Somebody needs to do it, but it's primarily the parents' responsibility. But they have skipped the scene. They have walked out, and they're not raising their children. And many are not being raised on God's Word. So what kind of a family legacy are you going to leave behind? I've tried to raise my four children to be Christians. They've all been baptized into Christ. They're all serving Christ, and my wife and I are blessed and we want them to continue doing that. Our oldest has married a Christian and starting a family. It takes work, though, friends. You've got to work at it. And it takes daily sacrifice and effort. And it takes them learning God's Word. Bring your children to the Bible classes that we have. Read the Bible at home. The Bible is available everywhere. Read the Bible to your children. So many people today are raised on their cell phones and the internet, and they're watching TV and movies and listening to music, and they spend a lot of time online. They spend a lot of time, with Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and all of this kind of thing, but they will not spend time in the Word of God, and they are going to lose their soul. What does it profit, Jesus said, if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? And so many people, young people, have all kinds of things. They're doing great, but their soul is not right with God. And the most precious thing that they have, they are not taking care of that. You're going to leave behind your possessions, your reputation, your family legacy. You're going to leave behind your spiritual legacy, whether or not you were a Christian or not. What are you going to leave behind, friend? What kind of a spiritual legacy will you leave behind? When the Apostle Paul got toward the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, looking back over his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, I am already being offered, talking about his death, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. All them that have loved his appearing. And so Paul looked back and said, I have fought the good fight, the spiritual fight against the devil. I have finished the course. That's the Christian race. I have kept the faith, following faithfully the Word of God. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. And so, friends, we've got to leave behind a spiritual legacy of serving Christ. You don't want to be going to the grave and what is said of you is, well, he or she served the devil. They served themselves. They served the world. They just did what the worldly ways wanted. No, we want to be able to say this was a faithful Christian. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God in this name. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 28 and 29, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. We need to be a faithful Christian and let that be our legacy. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we read the importance of dying in the Lord and dying faithfully. And we've got to be faithful unto death. John writes in Revelation 2 and verse 10 that we are to be faithful unto death. That is, faithful unto the point of dying. And we need to be known for that. You're going to leave behind some sort of spiritual legacy or lack thereof. Let it be a great spiritual legacy like the Apostle Paul himself. Let it be said that you fought the good fight, that you finished the course, and that you kept the faith, and there would be laid up for you the crown of righteousness. And so, you're going to leave things behind, and so am I. What else? We're going to leave behind our acquaintances. We're going to leave behind people. Friends, family, mothers, father, brother, sister, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles, and on and on and on. And what kind of relationships are we going to leave behind? Sometimes people need to clear up some things before they die. They're going to go to their death and they will not have cleared these matters up. Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to go say, I love you to someone? Do you need to clear up any kinds of matters? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says that when you come to bring your gift to worship God, if there is a fault, if there is a matter, go clear that up before bringing your gift. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, we're told that we're to be forgiving one another. And if anyone has a fault, forgive one another. Sometimes people need to clear up some things in their life with others. And instead of being filled with bitterness, and wrath and anger and resentment, we need to go clear up those matters with our loved ones before we die. In Luke chapter 16, we find in the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man dies. And he died and he went to torment. And Lazarus, who was righteous and faithful, he died and went into paradise. But the rich man went into torment, and he said that he had five brothers. He had five brothers who needed to hear the word of God, or they would come to the same place of torment. Is there someone that you need to, first of all, do you need to get your life right with God? And then do you need to talk with others about getting their life right with God? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 through 23, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He became all things to all men so that he might save some." He did anything that he could to talk with people about the gospel, and we need to be that way ourselves. Do you have any unfinished projects that you're going to leave behind? A lot of times people will not finish some project. Maybe they're working on their car, or they're working on their house, or they're working on something and they die and they're not able to finish that. What about the unfinished projects in your spiritual life, friends? Reading the Bible, becoming a Christian, going to church on a regular basis and worshiping God. Do you have some unfinished business that needs to be taken care of there? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 that today is the day of salvation. We need to act now. We don't know when our time is coming. And so many people die suddenly. They didn't realize that they had a heart condition or some other physical condition, or they get killed in an automobile accident, or some other kind of thing comes upon them suddenly. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 that we are to redeem the time for the days of our evil. Buy up every opportunity. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, we are to redeem the time or buy up the opportunity. Each day that we live, that we let go, is a wasted opportunity. And so many times we will have unfinished business with the Lord. And we need to clear that up and clean that up before it's everlasting too late. And speaking of opportunities, when we die, our opportunity to serve the Lord and obey the Lord is going to be gone. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 17, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because one day we are going to go to the grave and we will not be able to do those things anymore." The opportunity to hear this radio program will be gone. The opportunity to obey the gospel will be gone. The opportunity to have a Bible study, to come worship, to come serve the Lord, to become a Christian, to live faithfully. It's all going to be gone. There's no more opportunities in the grave where we're going. There's no more opportunities in the afterlife. There's no opportunities right before the judgment day. Friend, today is your opportunity and mine to get our life right with God. We're all going to die one day. Provided the Lord doesn't come first, we're all going to die. What will you leave behind? You're going to leave behind your possessions, your reputation, your family legacy, your spiritual legacy, if there is one, your acquaintances, unfinished projects, and all opportunities are going to be left behind. Today, friend, is the day to make those necessary changes and put a focus on your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And if we can help you to change your life before it's everlasting too late, please make contact with us. Call us. Come visit us. Come to our gospel meeting that starts today, and it runs through tomorrow night and Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Let's sit down and seriously talk so that we can be right with God. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.